right here at the model prayer and try to dig a little deeper into that this afternoon. We want to pray the way that Jesus taught to pray. And so we need to take heed his words. And we pray sincerely, we pray secretly, we pray simply. But I think the sincerity has got to begin, it's got to be the heart of it all. At the heart of every matter is a matter of the heart. And we want to make sure our hearts are in our prayers. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray together again. And we want to do that right now when we pray. We want to pray sincerely, asking God to speak to us through his word. We need to come understanding that this is the very word of God, and the sacred text lies before us. And I just think about this afternoon. These are the words the Lord Jesus spoke almost 2,000 years ago. And we get to read those words this afternoon and hear from Jesus speaking to us, just like he was speaking to that crowd that day. And the truth that he told them is just as important for us today as it was to them then. And what an amazing and powerful word he's given. So let's pray and ask him to speak to our hearts this afternoon. Brother Ryan, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. Verse 9, Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And would you guys say it with me out loud again this afternoon? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to focus on this section, but I don't want to leave this off. So look again, if you would, to verses 14 and 15, because it's critical. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So when we pray, we need to come with forgiveness. We need to forgive the way that we've been forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Unforgiveness reveals a heart that is not being controlled by the grace of God. And if you've been given grace by God, then you ought to desire to give grace to other people. If I've received grace, I'd extend grace. If God's been merciful to me, then I need to be merciful to others. And I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to forgiveness, so let me try to clear a couple of things up. Forgiving somebody else does not mean that what they did was okay. If somebody has sinned against you, it's not saying, well, what you did was fine, it's okay, it's no problem. That's not what it means at all. What you're doing, I've heard it described as releasing somebody. And the idea is, I'm not going to hold on to a grudge. I'm not going to hold on to my desire for vengeance. I'm going to let go of that. And I'm not going to hold on to my anger anymore. I'm going to release that. I'm going to trust that that's in God's hands. And I'm going to stop holding a desire in my heart to harm you because you harmed me. That's the idea of forgiveness, I believe. So we want to forgive. And forgiven people must freely forgive other people. So we want to back up this afternoon to verse 9. Where we're trying to learn to pray scripturally. And I want you to get a few things. I've tried to organize this in a way that hopefully will help you to remember. So I got eight words, eight different segments of this to think about the way our king taught us to pray in the kingdom. Number one, think about the relationship, the king's relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven. We pray to our heavenly Father because when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were born again. You became a child of God by a new birth. You were born again into the kingdom of God. Not only do you have a new birth, but he's also adopted us as sons. And the Bible gives us a picture of both the new birth and an adoption. So you get the idea of a spiritual birth and also a legal birth, whereas you are made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so when we pray to God in heaven, we're not praying to just God, but we're praying to our heavenly Father. He is my Father. I have a relationship with him because of Jesus, and you have a relationship with him through faith. So I want you to notice, he doesn't teach them to pray individually too. There's something to this, I think. He doesn't say, pray my Father. He says, pray our Father. He's always reminding us that we're together. He's always reminding, see how relational it is? Jesus didn't say, pray my Father. But you could, right? Brother Mike could say, my Father who is in heaven. But Jesus said, pray our Father. Because we're reminded that he's not just my Father, he's your Father too, and he's the Father of all who are born again by faith. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Here we would say Daddy, I think. In other languages, they would say Baba, or Papa, or... when your kids were very small, maybe they said, Dada. Right? This is the picture that Jesus gives us. This is the picture that the Word of God gives us, that we are like a small child crawling up into our Father's lap. And that's an amazing thought, to think about the Holy Almighty God inviting us to pray, our Father, Abba, Father. He is my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. So it's about relationship. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, he starts with that relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven. Number two, reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Holy, holy, holy is the name of our God. He is holy. Psalm 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Our God is holy, and we want to come with a sense of sacredness, a sense of honor, a sense of reverence and respect. So you notice how he pieces this together. He's our Heavenly Father. He is Abba, Papa, Daddy. But he is hallowed. He is holy. He is exalted. He is sacred. He is high and lifted up. And they're both right there together. So which is it? Can I call him Papa? Can I come to God Almighty and call him Daddy? Can I cry, Abba, Father? Absolutely. Does that mean I do it without reverence or without respect or without awe in the holiness of God? Of course not. It's both at the same time. And so there's that relationship that we have through Jesus, but there's the reverence that can't be taken away. He must be exalted. He must be honored. He must be reverenced. And when we come with awe because he is an awesome God. Relationship and reverence. Number three, reign. His reign, the king's reign, that's not like the stuff that falls out of the sky. This is the kind where the king sits on his throne, reign. Right? You guys still with me? Listen, we just got started. I can't have lost you already. Come on. R-E-I-G-N, reign, the king's reign. Thy kingdom come. That's what this entire series has been about. Us realizing that he is ruling and reigning, not just in heaven one day, but he's ruling and reigning now. And it's about his kingdom. It's not about my kingdom or your kingdom. It's not about my ideas or your ideas. It's not about my wants and desires or your wants and desires. It's certainly not what culture thinks or society deems is right. We are looking for his reign, his rule, and his reign here and now. The reign. Thy kingdom come. We seek his reign. And how does that happen? Well, we want it to happen in the whole world, don't we? We're going to see it just a second. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our desire is for his reign to happen everywhere. But listen, friends, the way it starts is in every individual heart. Do you want Jesus to rule over the nations? Do you guys want Jesus Christ to rule over all nations of the earth? Yeah, it may not seem like a duh question to you. But it's a hotly debated thing in the world today. There are a lot of people who are Christian nationalist, and they're pushing for Christian nationalism, and there are a lot of Christians on the other side of that pushing against Christian nationalism, and there's a big debate among Christians around the United States of America today. And listen, friend, if you're a Christian, then you want Jesus to rule and reign. Well, you need to keep God out of politics. No, I want God to be at the center of everything. I want Christ to rule and reign over everything. Now, how does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen with the sword, not a real sword. It doesn't happen with guns and tanks. It happens with the very word of God. It happens with the gospel. What we're looking for is God to be ruling and reigning in individual hearts, and then for people to live that out wherever they're at. Okay? Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. I want Jesus to rule and reign in my heart and in the mayor of our town's heart and in the commissioners of our county's hearts and in the governor of our state's heart. You guys tracking with me? Our representatives, our senators, the judicial people who sit on the bench, I want Christ to rule and reign in the heart of every person all the way up. What am I talking about? I want Donald J. Trump to be born again by faith in Christ alone. And then I want him to live that out as the president of the United States who's been redeemed by Jesus. By the way, we've had presidents like that before. And it's one of the reasons our nation's been blessed the way it has been. So we're talking about reign, and it happens in people's hearts. We want him to reign in hearts and over the nations. I don't want Jesus to just rule and reign over the United States of America. I want him to rule over every nation. I want Christ to be king everywhere. So his reign, and then number four, his rule. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus went to the garden, he epitomized this way of praying. When he says, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. People have a hard time balancing out how we pray, because when we pray, we're asking God to do things for us. We ask God to heal people. We ask God to help us. We ask God to do all kinds of things. We come with our prayers and our supplications. And sometimes people have a hard time balancing out whether we pray for our will or for his will. And friend, let me help you out if you're struggling with that. What you want to do is align your will with his will. When we pray, it's not so much about us getting our will done in heaven as we are about him getting his will done on earth. That's our desire. Thy will be done. We want him to rule. We want his rule done on earth. Our prayer will help us to align our will with his will. And I'm amazed by this. The more you read the Bible and the more you pray, the more your heart gets aligned with God. The more you study the word of God and the more you spend time with God, it's not so much that you're moving him closer to you, you're just getting aligned with him. If you delight in the law of the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that God's going to give you everything in your Amazon wish list. How many of you have an Amazon wish list? I see those hands. God bless you. All right. $1 million. God giving you the desire of your heart doesn't mean he's going to fulfill your wish list. What it means is he's going to change your heart to line up with his will. He's going to put desires in your heart that are aligned with him. And we want him to rule and reign. That's the kingdom. Number one is relationship. Number two is reverence. Number three is reign. Number four is rule. And number three and four, that is the kingdom. Rule and reign. That's what we're talking about. The rule and reign of Christ. That is his kingdom. And we want to align with that through our prayers. Number five, resources. Resources, the king's resources. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, most of the people in this room have never lived like this. Maybe one or two of you have had some times in your life where you literally had to depend on God for your daily bread. But most of you in this room have never lived that way. I know I certainly never have. But you understand what Jesus is teaching is that you put full dependence on God to provide for you today. And I know how we are as Americans. Like, we think we got it. You got some money in the bank account, some food in the refrigerator and in the cabinets, and you're good to go. Like, you're trusting in what he's already given you. But I'm just telling you that whether you've got money in the bank and food in the cupboards or not, you have to depend on God every day. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. The reality is it could all be gone in an instant. And I'm not going to trust. I want to rejoice and I want to thank God for how he's provided and the resources he's given. But I don't want to forget for a second that he's the one that gave them. I'm going to trust in him. Our daily bread. Now, I'm going to say daily bread is literal, that he's going to provide for us day by day for our physical needs. But friends, I believe that Jesus is trying to teach us more than that. Not just our physical, but in every other need. You need to depend on Jesus for your mental and emotional health. You need to depend on Jesus for your spiritual growth. And the bread ultimately is not just physical bread, but the bread is the bread of life, the very word of God and Jesus himself. I think at the end of the day, what we're praying here is not just, God, please give me food to eat. I think what we're praying is, Jesus, give me you. I need you. I need Jesus. He is the living bread. I need your word. I need you. So it's his resources depending on him. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's him, his resources. Number six, redemption. Redemption. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess and he forgives, and we need to come seeking forgiveness. This is number six on the list. I don't remember the first time somebody pointed this out to me, but it stands out to me every time now. How far down in the list before we're asking for forgiveness? Jesus puts worshiping him ahead. He puts seeking his will ahead. He puts seeking his provision ahead of asking for forgiveness. Now, that may seem out of order to you, but I reckon Jesus knew what he was doing. I suppose he's giving us a pattern here. He would say, after this manner, therefore, pray you. Pray like this when you pray. And he's saying, I want you to focus on the relationship. I want you to focus on reverence. I want you to focus on my will being done. I want you to focus on depending on me. And then I want you to seek forgiveness. But friends, we need his forgiveness. Every moment of every day. And the faster we are to seek forgiveness, the faster we are to confess and repent, the better off we're going to be. All right, let's take a poll real quick, see how honest you guys can be. How many of you, would you just say honestly in your heart and mind, at some point today you've sinned against God? I mean, it's Sunday. What's wrong with you people? Right? I mean, every day. And I know a lot of new Christians, they come into this thing and they're like, well, what if I mess up? I mean, I've had so many people hesitant to say, to even pray and ask God to save them. They're like, I'm scared it won't be real. I'm scared I'll mess up. I'm scared I'll fail. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a fraud. I don't want to be a failure. Well, listen, what you're saying is, I'm afraid I'll mess up. You're missing the whole point. You have to depend on Jesus. You're not going to keep yourself saved. You will mess up. The righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. What's the point? The point is we're all going to stumble. We're all going to fall. Saved people will fall into sin. We don't run into sin. We don't live for sin. How can we live any longer therein? We're dead to that. But it doesn't mean that we don't ever mess up. But when you mess up, you fess up. When you mess up, fess up. Stop pretending. You're not fooling anybody. I wasn't surprised when all of you raised your hand a second ago. Like, I didn't fall over in shock. Like, oh my goodness, they all sin today. No, we all do every day. And when you have a bad thought, you need to repent immediately. When you get angry and you say something out of anger, you need to repent immediately. I'm just saying we need to keep short accounts with God. What does that mean? When I mess up, I fess up. And I need to be quick about it. You need to forgive. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness quickly. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, that's the other side of it, right? I need to forgive as I've been forgiven. And Jesus actually teaches us to pray that he would forgive us the way we forgive others. Now, does that change your attitude about forgiving others? I mean, just think about it for a second. If I'm going to ask God to forgive me the way that I forgive others, I might be in trouble. That's why he ends this section by saying, you need to forgive others or you're not going to be forgiven. Maybe a lot of you in the room have never struggled with forgiveness, but I have. Every time I study about forgiving others, there are certain things that have happened in my past or to people in my family, people that I love have been hurt. And even now, when I think about those things, I can get angry. Even now, in my heart, vengeance comes up. Like, I want to get even. And I have to be quick to get rid of that. Because if I want to be forgiven, I'm going to have to forgive them. What does that mean? That means vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. That means that I am not going to try to get vengeance, and I'm not going to hold on to that in my heart. I'm going to let it go. Ultimately, forgiveness, listen to me. Ultimately, forgiveness comes down to faith. That I'm going to trust God to deal with those things rather than me trying to deal with them in my own mind, in my own heart, in my own way. So it's redemption. Number 7 is rescue. Rescue. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or you could say the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Psalm 141, verse 4. Psalm 141, verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Even the psalmist understood. We got to be careful of our influences, and we want to make sure that we are led away from sinful things. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you. He will hold you up, and he'll keep you from evil. I'm going to tell you this afternoon that when we pray the way we're supposed to, it'll remind us every single time we pray that God will not tempt you above that you are able, but will always, always, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. None of us can ever say when we've sinned against God, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help it. Or this. How about this one? You ever heard this one? One thing led to another and it just happened. Listen, none of that's going to work when we kneel before King Jesus. It's not going to work in the day of judgment. It's not going to work today. We sin. We sin. But we need to be reminded that we have a God in heaven who can lead us out of temptation, who can deliver us from evil and the evil one. And it's certainly not going to work any better now than when you were a kid. The devil made me do it. Not going to work. That never worked with mama, and it's not going to work with Jesus. So we look for rescue. We ask for God to protect us from the snares of sin. You have an enemy. He's after you. And he is tempting you day after day after day, and he never stops. He's relentless. So we have to be relentless in our prayers. You cannot face temptation alone. You cannot defeat evil alone. You have to have God's help, and he's teaching you to ask for it. So we have relationship, reverence, reign, rule, resources, redemption, rescue, and number 8, recognition. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is a doxology. This is a praise. This is a glorification. And the prayer ends. The prayer ends the way it begins. It begins with praise to God. Hallowed be thy name. And it ends with his kingdom and power and glory forever to praise the Lord. Whose kingdom is it? It's not my kingdom. It's his kingdom. So whose will matters? The king's will. And whose way do we want to follow? The king's way. And how do we want to pray? The king's way. And so we learn to pray the way Jesus taught us to. The Bible has a ton to say about how we ought to pray. And there's no way I could give it to you in a way that would cause you to remember it. But just let me give you a couple of reminders this afternoon. We ought to pray thankfully. We ought to come with thanksgiving before God. We talk about this all the time. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray thankfully. Number 2, pray faithfully. Pray faithfully. Whatsoever things ye ask in prayer, believing believing, ye shall receive. Jesus taught us to pray with faith. So faithfully, full of faith, and faithfully in the sense of praying constantly. Pray secretly. We studied that this morning. Jesus taught us to pray secretly, to enter into the secret place. Number four, we ought to pray with authority. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. We pray with authority, but it's not our authority, it's Jesus' authority. So what does that mean? Hold on, I need you guys to stay with me for just a second longer. Listen, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are not invoking the name of Jesus like some kind of magic incantation. There are a lot of people in our community who will say all kinds of nonsense and throw Jesus' name on it and think that he has to do it because they invoked his name. Jesus' name is not a magic incantation. It is not abracadabra. When you pray in the name of Jesus, what you're doing is putting your prayer under his power and under his authority. You don't get to take whatever nonsense you come up with in your head and you say with your mouth and then put Jesus on it and make it okay. No, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying with his authority, meaning under his authority. And when I pray in Jesus' name, what I'm doing is I'm putting everything that I've asked him to under his authority, under his power, and under his will, not my own. Everybody got that? Listen, you got family and friends just like I do, who think that they just say in Jesus' name to everything, and they just throw his name around like they're sprinkling some kind of magic pixie dust. And it is an insult to the name of Jesus to throw his name on any little thing that you throw around. Listen, his name is holy. He has all the power and authority, and to pray in his name means to be in subjection to him as king. Y'all hang on a minute, I'll preach. Number five, submissively, not my will, but thine be done. How dare we come presumptuously to God when we pray? We put ourselves under his authority. I mentioned Jesus praying in the garden a while ago, but I just read it again. He went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. And he did it again, and he did it again. And then we have the audacity to be like the Pharisee and stand looking up to heaven with our hands raised and thank God that we're not like other men, sinners. When our Savior fell on his face and said, not my will, but thine be done. No, let's fall on our face and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Submissively. Number six, one more time, forgivingly. Forgive others. Number seven, repentantly. We come with repentance in our hearts and minds. We like David, need to admit, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Number eight, constantly. Pray without ceasing. Or as Matthew West would say, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Pray constantly. Number eight, effectually, fervently. James 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray effectually, fervently. All of these things are how we pray biblically. The Bible has so much more to say about prayer. Let me leave you with these last couple of thoughts. Curtis Hudson said, there is more that you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. More you can do after you pray, but nothing you can do until you pray. And Hudson Taylor said this, the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I think Brother Taylor's right. The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. I don't think any of us have ever prayed like we could. I know none of us have always prayed like we should. But God change our hearts and make us men and women of prayer. What's that look like? Well, it looks like all of it. It looks like getting alone with God in prayer every single day. It looks like praying for your meals before you eat, no matter where you are. It looks like praying without ceasing. It looks like being in a constant state of turning our hearts and minds and our thoughts to God. Listen, most of you are like me. You got thoughts rattling around in your head all day. You got some kind of ongoing monologue, or some of you have a dialogue going on with yourself inside your head. But praying means that I'm not gonna have a conversation with myself inside my head. It means I'm gonna take all of those thoughts and I'm gonna direct them towards God, and I'm gonna talk to God all day long, every day. I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Abba, Father, help me again today. I need you every hour. I need you. And throughout my day, I'm gonna pray. And at the end of my day, I'm going to lay my head on my pillow, and before I go to sleep, I'm going to spend time talking to my Father in heaven. Because I can. Because Jesus made a way. Because I must. Because I cannot live my life as a Christian without communion with my Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for this afternoon and the time. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. So much in my heart and mind about prayer, and I just pray that you'll do a work in people's hearts to make sense of it. Lord, I pray that you'll convict our hearts. Lord, I know my prayer life has never been everything it ought to be, and I pray that you'll change that in my life and the life of everyone in this church, that you'll help us to pray without ceasing, to pray sincerely and secretly, and to pray with simplicity. Father, that we'll pray biblically, scripturally, the way that you taught us to, and the way your scriptures teach us to all throughout. Lord, help us as we read your word and study, as we come across those passages that teach us about prayer. Lord, help us to learn to pray like you did and to pray like you taught us to. Lord, and I pray you'll hear this prayer, that you'll forgive our sins and our failures. You'll help us to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer who faithfully, constantly cry out to you. And Lord, that you'll do a mighty work and a wonder in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, our homes, and in this church and our communities, that it will be evident that your power is working through the prayers of your people. Please forgive, please heal, and please help. Thank you for your grace. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go home this afternoon, does anybody have any questions or comments or anything from the messages today?